It gives me pleasure this evening to introduce our brother, our servant, Brother Ken Orr. I ask for him your prayerful attention as he brings a message to us this evening.
Thank you, Don. Appreciate your prayers this evening. I feel the human weakness. But I do feel that the Lord has placed upon my heart a few thoughts. I really appreciated Don's sermon this morning. Kind of went along with a lot that has been brought forth in the last few weeks. I don't know if you remember, I jotted down a few notes. I didn't copy them exactly as he spoke them, but this morning he spoke of promises concerning the land of the Americas. He admonished us to remember to hearken to the words of the Lord, to be alert, to be united in all things of the gospel in our faith. Reminded me of our brother Rich's opening remarks at the Idaho reunion, to come in a unity of purpose, a unity of faith. And I can't remember the exact words, but he posed a question to us. He asked us, how are you doing? He asked us how we're doing. Some said, we're doing great, we're doing wonderful, we're okay. You know, we're all kind of on the same theme, but different words. Then he said, I'm going to give you the answer, and then I'm going to ask the question again. And the answer is, I'm doing wonderful, thank you. Then he asked the question, how are you doing? And we all responded, I'm doing wonderful, thank you. We were in unity. And that was the point of his message, that we were in unity in the faith. Common purpose. And that's, our brother spoke of that this morning, being in unity of the things of the gospel of our faith. Our brother also mentioned that we are at war, a spiritual war. That we're to come out of spiritual obscurity and spiritual ignorance. That we have a great responsibility to help the people in this land to arise out of the dust and to understand the promises and to inherit this land. Our brother Jay, in his sermon at the Idaho reunion, and he said it very quietly, but he said it twice. This is the last time. Speaking of God pruning his vineyard and calling out to the world, this is the last time, and our responsibility to be ready to battle. I guess my sermon tonight is perhaps in two parts. Forgiveness and service. We've been called to be witnesses, and to be servants of Jesus Christ. If we were called today to give an account of our calling, to give an account of our service to the Lord, would we stand vindicated before God, or would we fall short? In word, in deed, and in thought, it is our duty to declare we are a Christian. We are servants of Jesus Christ. We are followers of Jesus Christ. But you know, first of all, I'd like to point out that we've all fallen short. Not one of us has lived up to that great responsibility that God has given us. Not one of us has not failed at one or or more times in our lives. Not one of us that has walked perfectly before the Lord. If we did, if we walked perfect, probably we could all agree that we would cease to walk in this life. There's only one that ever walked upon this earth that was born of a woman that was perfect, and that was our Savior. So when we fail, what do we do? What do we do when we fall? You know, to serve God, we must be free of the guilt of unrepented sin. When we have sin in our life that we haven't gone to God and asked forgiveness, it's hard to serve. But keep in mind, when we do repent, when we do go to the Lord and ask forgiveness and do it in the manner that He has commanded us, we must be free of that guilt. For if He's forgiven us, we're no longer held accountable for that sin. But so many times in our life, we carry the guilt of sin in our life. We cannot accept God's forgiveness. And that's all we can do. We either accept God's forgiveness or we don't. One of the reasons, of course, for not accepting God's forgiveness is because we're still continuing in that sin. But when we fail, first thing we have to do is to recognize that we failed. To recognize that we sinned before our Lord, we need to go to Him and confess our sin. I think He wants us to be specific. He wants us to go to our closet, to close the door and between Him and yourself, confess your sin. He wants us to utter the word, "I did this." He doesn't want to hear, "Lord, forgive me for my sins," or "Lord, forgive me for my weaknesses." He wants us to be specific. "I did this and I'm ashamed of it." The Lord said the only sacrifice that He will accept is a broken heart and a contrite spirit. To be overcome by the grief of our sin, to be overcome with shame, with remorse, with guilt. Oh, guilt is part of it. We have to feel guilty. We need to feel guilty. We have to be condemned in our own hearts. To recognize that we failed our Savior. To come to Him with that contrite spirit, repentant, willing to humble ourselves before God, to admit that we need Him, to admit that we failed Him, to admit that we sinned against Him, to admit that we're not worthy to be in His presence, and willing to do whatever is necessary to gain forgiveness. Oftentimes, we're not willing to do what we need to do to gain that forgiveness. We don't want to give it up. We have a hard time. We have all these excuses. "Oh, it's too hard. I can't do that." But you know, we can do it. We can do it. We have the promise of forgiveness. You know, in Mosiah, the Lord says, "As often as my people confess their sins." And I believe, confess those sins with that contrite, that broken heart and that contrite spirit, God will forgive. And He will give us the strength to overcome. It may be difficult. It may be time-consuming. It may be hard. But sometimes we seem to be like water. Take the path of least resistance. And sometimes we have to go against the stream. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's painful. Sometimes we have to do whatever is necessary. I remember reading a story, and I presume it's true, about the country singer Johnny Cash. In his younger days, he was kind of a wild guy. And for many years, took cocaine. And he came to the point in his life, he realized that he was killing himself. He was going to die. And I believe it was, I can't remember, I think it was Carl Perkins, but I'm not sure. He went to him and he says, "I want you to lock me in this room, and I don't care how much I beg, I don't care how much I cry, I don't care how much I scream, do not open that door. Do not open that door." And I believe it was either 48 or 72 hours that he was in total agony. He begged, he screamed, he pleaded for him to open that door, and he wouldn't. And he overcame it. Sometimes we have to do the same thing in our spiritual life. No matter how much we cry and beg and scream and plead, perhaps we need support. But we need to have that determination in our hearts that we're going to do whatever the Lord requires of us to overcome our sin. And we can lay claim to that promise. Part of our repentance is that we're going to determine we're not going to do that anymore. We're not going to do that same sin. James, he said, if we resist the adversary, if we resist the devil, he will flee from us. And probably every one of us can think of a sin that we might have had 20, 30 years ago that doesn't bother us today. I can think of a couple off the top of my head that does not bother me today. We can overcome any sin. We can be free of any sin. Just have to have the determination, the will, the power of the Spirit to help us. Sometimes when we succumb to sin, we become discouraged. We give up. Oh, and then we hear the, "Oh, woe is me." You know, God won't hear me. God is mad at me. You know, it's no sense. I'm just going to quit. I'm going to quit. That's one of the devil's favorite tools. Discouragement. Causing us to quit. Because God's mad at me. I'm stuck in this sinful life and God won't hear me. He won't help me. But what did Christ say? He came for who? He came for the sinner. He didn't come for the righteous. He came for the sinner. Those publicans, those tax collectors, those thieves, those robbers, those drunkards. That's who he came for. Yeah. I like to read and go back and rehearse Nephi and his lament and his confession before God. I'm not going to read it tonight, but you find in the third chapter, 2 Nephi, how he lamented his weaknesses of the flesh and cried unto God, "Why am I a wretched man? Why am I so weak? You've shown me all these things. I've been carried away in the Spirit. You've shown me visions. You've given me dreams. You've given me revelation. You've delivered me from my enemies. And yet, here I am in sin." He confessed his sin before God. He lamented that he was in this situation. But you know, he didn't fall into despair. He went right into begging God to give him strength. He came to God with a broken heart, with a contrite spirit. He begged, pleaded with God to forgive him, to give him the strength to continue on And he asked God to hedge up the way of his enemies and to make his path straight. We need to walk humbly before God. Nephi recognized that his strength was not in the arm of flesh, but in his Redeemer. Perhaps from time to time we need to come before God in that wretched condition, recognizing that we're not worthy to be in His presence, recognizing that, as King Benjamin said, we're less than the dust of the earth. Compared to God, that's what we are. Even the most righteous person, we can walk as righteously as we can before Him. Even in that condition, we're less than the dust of the ground compared to our Savior. Miserable creatures compared to God. But at the same time, we are of the greatest value to God. So valuable that He gave His life for you and for me. My memory's terrible. I had to ask a couple people, and I probably still won't get the story right, but at the Idaho reunion, our brother Bill gave a testimony that several years ago, our sister Chris was singing a song, and in his mind, he saw the Lord carrying the cross. That heavy burden, and he saw the Lord fall. And the Lord looked at him. He looked at him, he says, "I did this for you. Don't let it be in vain." How great a value are we to God that He gave His life. He spilled His blood. He came for that purpose. Don't let it be in vain. He came for us. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, I'm going to read the 14th verse is all. "Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory." Of the purchased possession, we were purchased by the blood of Christ. He bought us, He paid for us, we are His. We're His possession, His prized possession. He obtained us by paying for us. He gave His life. So how much value are we to Him? Greater value than any of His creation. I'm not going to turn to it, but 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, "For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." After we have confessed our weaknesses, after we confessed our sin and humbled ourselves, sought that forgiveness, now what? Now comes the service part. We're prepared now. Hopefully we're prepared. We've come to God. We've confessed our sins. We've begged for forgiveness. He's cleansed us. He's purified us. We can rise from our knees feeling forgiven. We don't have that weight of sin. We don't have that burden that we've been carrying. Because He has forgiven us and He has forgotten it. Now we can go on with our life. Service. You know, to be of service to God, the first thing we must do is get rid of the S in our life. To get rid of self. The first thing we have to do is get rid of self. Self has no place in the gospel of Christ. It has no place in the service to our Master. Our whole duty is to serve God. gospel is not about me. This gospel is not about you. It's about Jesus Christ. That's who it's about. It's about serving Him and doing His bidding and doing His will and being prepared to be that bride that He's going to come and carry away. To be that bride without spot, without blemish, fit for His service. So it's not about me. It's not about any of us. It's about our service to Christ. It's about others. It's about our service to other people. It's about our service to those who know not the gospel. So our brother spoke this morning. It's about our responsibility and our duty to make sure that the people of the Americas know and understand the promises. To make sure that the people in foreign lands know and understand the promises. That's our responsibility. That's our duty to man. King Benjamin said that when we're in the service of our fellow man, we are in the service of God. We are in the service of God when we are examples to our neighbors, to our family. When we uphold the gospel, when we overcome the world, when we overcome our human weaknesses. Our commitment at baptism. Let's read that real quick. In Mosiah chapter 9. We made a commitment. We all know it. We've heard it. We've read it. We've been admonished about it, concerning it across the pulpit many times. But it goes along with our service. Page 259, the 40th verse, yea, and are willing to mourn with those that mourn. Yea, and to comfort those that stand in need of comfort, and to stand as witnesses of God at all times and in all things and in all places that ye may be in, even until death. There's a promise. That ye may be redeemed of God and be numbered with those of the first resurrection, that ye may have eternal life. Service. Service to God through our service to each other. Whether it's within the gospel confines, whether it's our family, whether it's our neighbors, whether it's in a foreign country, it doesn't matter. We need to be unwavering in our service. Hebrews chapter 10, the 23rd verse says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Let's not waver. Let's not stumble. Let's not fall. Let's not give up when it going is tough. Let's not waver. For God is faithful. He will stand with us. He will support us. He will strengthen us. But He expects us to do it. He's not going to do it for us. He's not going to make it easy sometimes. But He will strengthen us. He will strengthen us in our temptations and in our trials. He said, there's no temptation that's taken you. There's no trial in this life that comes upon you that's not common to man. But He said, with that temptation, with that trial, with that tribulation, with that burden, He said He will provide a way of escape. Doesn't mean He'll take it from us. He may. But He will give us the strength to endure. He will give us the means to overcome. He will give us that portion of the Spirit to help us through the dark times in our life, the hard times in our life. Don't throw up our hands and give up. Let's not give up. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Again, familiar verses. First three verses. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Acceptable, well-pleasing, fully agreeable. Acceptable. We must be acceptable. We're going to be well-pleasing to God. We're going to be fully agreeable with Him. Our lives are going to be in agreement with God. Our lives are going to be in agreement with the leading of the Spirit. Reasonable service. God does not require anything that's not reasonable. It's rational. It's deliberate. And be not conformed to this world. Don't be the same as. Don't agree with this world. That's what Paul's telling us. Let's not conform to this world. Let's not be the same as this world. Let's rise, as our brother said this morning. Let's rise from the dust. Let's rise from that dust. But be transformed. It's a change. A continuous change. We're going to be transformed from this person of sin to this person of righteousness. Transformed in mind and heart and spirit. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, that renewing is the adjustment of the moral and spiritual vision and thinking to the mind of God. To the mind of God. That's our service. That's where we find what we truly need to be doing. We're in tune with the mind of God. Because we're not conformed with this world, but we're conformed to Christ. That ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That perfect will, that complete will of God, that complete will of God will be made manifest. Be not conformed to this world. We cannot serve God if we're bound by the chains of this world. By the lust of the flesh, by the appetites of the flesh, by the desires of the heart and the mind towards the things of the world, we cannot serve God. We have to be free. As Christ was our example, we're to be examples to others. 3 Nephi, the 12th chapter. Page 674. 3 Nephi, chapter 12. It's the last two verses of the 12th chapter, 34 and 35. Verily, verily, I say unto you. By the way, that word verily means truthfully. What I'm going to say is the truth. Truthfully, I say to you, this is my gospel. This gospel that we're part of is His gospel. It's what He preached in Jerusalem. It's what He preached on this land. It's what's been given to us in the Holy Scriptures. This is my gospel. And you know the things that ye must do in my church. He had explained to them. He had showed them. He had taught them. They knew what they were to do in His church. For the works which ye have seen me do, that shall ye also do. What they saw Christ do, that's what He expected of them. That was their reasonable service, was to do the things that He had showed them. And when we read the Scriptures, He didn't ask them to do anything that was unreasonable. He didn't ask them to do anything that was physically impossible or spiritually or mentally. Everything he asked them to do, everything he showed them, they could do. It wasn't unreasonable. For that which ye have seen me do, even that shall ye do. Therefore, if ye do these things, blessed are ye, for ye shall be lifted up at the last day. What they saw the Lord do, they were to do. What we read that he did is what we're to do. Study the scriptures. Study the scriptures to know what the Lord expects. To know what he did in certain situations. To know how he resisted temptation, perhaps. To know how he answered the adversaries. To know how to walk in this life. James admonishes us to be doers of the word and not just hearers. If we are only hearers and not doers, we deceive our own selves. To be doers of the word, to be out there actively spreading the gospel, actively being the example, actively portraying the image of Christ to those around us. You know, in Hebrews, in the 6th chapter, Paul admonishes us to go on to perfection. It's a stair step. From this moment, we're to go on to perfection. Not to be satisfied with the station that we're at in life. Not to be satisfied with what we have or our spiritual well-being at this time. But to go on to perfection. To climb that stair step. If we stay at the same level, it's impossible. We cannot stay the same. We have to either go up or we'll go down. 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1. I'm going to begin at the 3rd verse. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. We have everything that we need for life and godliness. To gain eternal life, to live a godly life, we have everything that we need. Through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, through the knowledge of Christ, through his words, through his example, we have everything that we need. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. We have the promise that we will be partakers of the divine nature of Jesus Christ, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We've been given the opportunity to escape this world, to escape all that's there through our baptism and through our adherence to the gospel of Christ. We've been given the opportunity to escape this world. Oh, what a blessing. What a blessing we've been given. And beside this, we've come to this knowledge, we've come to this understanding, we've come to this place in our life. He says, beside this, giving all diligence. Now comes perhaps the difficult part. All diligence, not just a half-hearted effort, not just when we feel like it or when it's easy or when, you know, I'm tired this morning, I don't want to pray. That's not being very diligent. I'm too busy today, I don't want to study. That's not being very diligent. Giving all diligence. Add to your faith. So we got this faith in Jesus Christ. We understand. We have this sort of knowledge. And he says to add to this faith virtue. Morally. Spiritually. Mentally. Let's be virtuous. Let's not dabble in those things of the world. Let's say, oh, that's not too bad. You know, it's only got one or two bad words. It's okay to watch it. Let's be careful. Let's add that virtue to every aspect of our life. And to virtue knowledge, the knowledge of Jesus Christ, we add, we're going up some stair steps here, we add to our faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, How do we get knowledge? Studying the Scriptures, listening to sermons, listening to testimonies, inviting people over to discuss the Scriptures, to study, to meditate, to pray. And to knowledge, temperance. Moderation. Moderation. We don't go off on wild tangents. We're moderate. Like Brother Don said this morning, we think things through. We become men, become women. We think it through. Do it God's way. And to temperance, patience. Wait upon the Lord. It may seem like a long time. It may seem like He's passing us by, but He is preparing us, brothers and sisters. He's preparing us for service. Everything that we go through on a daily basis, there's something there that God wants us to learn. He sees something that perhaps He needs to change within us. We may have to have a trial, or we may have to have a tribulation. We may have to do things that we don't want to do. But He is preparing us for His service. And when He's got us prepared and when He's got us ready, then He can use us. He can use us. And to patience, godliness. We're to be godlike. To be Christ-like in our actions, in our thoughts, in our deeds. Stop and think, what would Christ do? What would He say? Where would He go? We even go beyond godliness. It says to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. That pure love of Jesus Christ. Part of our service to God. For if these things be in you and abound, they make that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. If we do not continue in this path, we'll soon forget that God called us from this world. He forgave us our sins, gave us a new life. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. There's that word diligence again. To make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. It's a pretty strong promise that we'll never fall. But if we continue steadfast in this gospel, He gave us that promise. And in Matthew, in the third book of Nephi, He said, if you build upon my rock, if you build upon me when the storms come, when the temptations, when the trials and stuff, He said, if you build upon me, you're not going to fall. But if you're not, be diligent to make sure you're built upon Christ and you will not fall. I'm not going to read all these scriptures, but in Alma in the 16th chapter, it's another familiar scripture, beginning at the 219th verse, we're admonished to pray morning, noon, and evening. And when we're not praying, we're to meditate. And we're to pray against the powers of Satan. We're to pray against our enemy. We're to pray for our families and our jobs and our livelihood. We're to pray for our friends and our neighbors. But let's be careful that we don't ask amiss. That we don't ask, as James said, to consume it upon our lusts. But our prayer must be not, Lord, do this for me. But our prayer must be, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? This is what I want to do. Is it right? Is it proper? How can I fulfill this? If it's not right, show me. Everything I want to do for you, God, not for me. Not for me. Get rid of self. Got to get rid of self. The Lord said that the greatest commandment was to love God. With all our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. That's the first and greatest commandment. Love God above everything else. Above our wives, above our children, above our parents, our brothers, our sisters. Above everything, we love Him most. especially above the things of the world and the lusts of the flesh. You find that reference in Luke chapter 10, beginning around the 27th verse. To resist the devil. James chapter 4, verse 7, he says, resist the devil and he will flee. We resist him by not doing those things, not giving in to the temptations that we have, not giving in to the lust of the flesh, not giving in to self. Not giving in to self. God gave us emotions. We're not to give in to them. Because most of those emotions concern self. We get angry. What are we? We're selfish. We want to get back at somebody. We want to prove they're wrong. We want them to know that we're upset. Selfish. In 1 Thessalonians, in the 5th chapter, Paul gives us a whole list of things to do, to not do. Quickly go through them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, all beginning at the 14th verse, let's begin at the 14th verse. It says, and we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Give them caution. Caution those that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded or the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice in this gospel. Rejoice in what we have. It's not a burden. Rejoice in our station in life. Let's not be lamenting because we don't have what we want. We have the Lord. We have salvation. What more can we want? Rejoice. Rejoice in what we have and who we are and what the Lord has given us. Let's not think about what we don't have. Doesn't matter. That's not important. It's what we have that's important. You go to a third world country, they don't have much to rejoice in other than the Lord. You could take everything they had. With a $100 bill in your pocket, you could probably replace it. They have nothing, but they rejoice. When they hear the gospel, I've seen them cry and weep. They rejoice. They don't feel sorry for themselves because of what they don't have. They rejoice in what they do have. Pray without ceasing. Pray without omission. Pray constantly. Always. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And that's difficult sometimes, isn't it? Sometimes it's hard to be thankful when you think the world's kicking you. But everything has a purpose. God has a purpose in everything. Quench not the Spirit. Don't extinguish that Spirit. Don't hinder His operation within your life. Don't suppress the Spirit. Don't squelch the Spirit. Don't put it down or silence the Spirit. Don't quench it. Don't put it out. Let it be alive. Let it be alive and well in your body and in your heart and in your mind. Don't do those things that would put that Spirit out. Sin will quench the spirit. Inattentiveness, not heeding, will quench that spirit. Just as a campfire, you know, you can put it out with water, you can put it out with sand, you can do lots of things to put that fire out. Same with the spirit. We can put it out. We can put it out. Don't quench the spirit. Don't hinder the operation of the Spirit of God in your life or in the lives of others. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Prove it. Examine it. Test it with the expectation to approve. Prove it. Examine. Test. Test all things. Just don't accept it, but prove it. We prove the Word of God. It's been proven to us. Prove prophesying. Prove all these things. They must stand the test of God. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Refrain. Keep oneself from the very appearance of evil. How important that is. We may have the purest of intentions. We may have no thought of evil. But someone else may see something and it may cause them to think badly. Abstain from even causing people to even talk, to think, or whatever, something about you that's not true. Don't give anybody the chance to cast a finger, to point a finger, to cast a stone, to say anything. Abstain from the all appearance, every form. Abstain. Keep away from every form of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. He will preserve us. He will do it. He will do it. God proves us. He proves us. You know, the parable of the talents. He gave one, two, and another five, and another ten. And he told him to go out and to make them more. Well, the man with the ten and the man with the five, they doubled, you know, they increased, and the Lord gave them much. But the one with one talent, he hid it. He failed the test. He hid his talent. He didn't show forth any works. God expects us to use what he has given us. He proves us. He tests us. He wants to know who are true and faithful servants. First Peter chapter 5. I'm going to end with this scripture. First Peter chapter 5. Sixth verse. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Humble yourself. Get rid of self. Be willing to bow down. Be willing to yield your life to him. Be willing to give him all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. Seek none for ourselves. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He wants to hear our prayers. He wants to hear our concerns. He wants us to come to him and ask him to help us make decisions to choose the right path, for he cares. He cares. Don't take God for granted. Sometimes we do. I'd have to confess that I've taken God for granted. Let's not do that. Let's not do that. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The adversary is always seeking to destroy us, to tear us, and to rip us. The only way that we can resist is through Jesus Christ. Through the power of the Spirit that's been given to us. And we have that power as a gift from God, but we keep it by our diligence, by our faith, by our righteousness, by our service. Do not quench that spirit, for that is our defense. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brother that are in the world. But God, the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. This life is our testing ground. It's our proving ground. It's our way. It's God's way. God's way and means of perfecting us, of making us ready to enter his kingdom. Must be diligent. Must be steadfast. As our brother admonished us this morning, let's rise from the dust and put on Christ and be diligent and faithful in our service, and the Lord will bless us. He will prosper us spiritually. And he will strengthen us. He will make us a mighty people. Thank you for your time.